Okay, we've mentioned the word layout component like maybe 100 times in this podcast, so it's time to go to the best practices related to the layout components. So the first best practice layout component, which, you know, I'll say is that you need a stack component. Do you?
Obviously, yes. So, I mean, so much of your content is like vertical lists of things.
So, to clarify, a stack component is a component where the elements go below one another and there's equal space between them.
Yeah. So to give it a basic example of how powerful it is, like all of our documentation for Braid, you know, the website is built with Braid itself. And one of the realizations for us, once we had felt like we'd figured out a good layout system, was it felt like writing Markdown, because we would have a root level like stack component, right? And we'd say there's medium space in the stack. And then all we'd have to do is inside of that component, we could go heading, text. And we didn't have to think about padding on things. We didn't have to think about like that stack component just fanned everything out evenly, and we didn't have to think about it at all. It almost made us like look at these systems that let you turn Markdown into React. We were like, with layout components that work this well, like, I almost feel like there's no point in trying to use Markdown. Like, you're better off just writing JSX, because it's more powerful, but we can also move just almost as fast as Markdown. And it's only because of the layout components, right? Like, that was the realization. You know, if I wanted to lay out a bunch of text on a screen without those layout components, as we had done previously, I mean, I remember it being a pain. I can't remember exactly what we did. I'm trying to remember what we even did.
I can tell you what I do.
Yeah.
I have like a 10 box components, like, because you need to define each and every space on the page. You might have like, and then you might abstract out something like a paragraph, but then you have issues because not every paragraph needs to have the same space, at least not the last child. So you end up having this sort of, you either do it by hand, and when you try to abstract it, you have some corner cases that are very, very annoying. So that's what I'm doing right
now.
Yeah,
we did exactly what you said, actually, now that you mention it. That's exactly what we did. Like, you have you say, I need space between everything, so I'm going to have a paragraph component which has a margin bottom of whatever. And like you said, that's the side effect problem now, because it's like, well, sometimes you're like, I didn't want that space there, but I can't get rid of it.
And then you have last child selectors, or you need to do a React children loop and remove the, you know, prop from the last child or something. So it works, but it's quite tedious. So the next best practice would be that you need an inline component. What is it? Inline, and why?
Yeah. So inline, this wording I borrowed from an 8shapes blog post. My mind's blanking on the author again. But what an inline is what? How do you sum it up? It's for flow, like flowing content. So the canonical example I always reach for is like badges. You know, if you had so many badges that it wouldn't fit, you want it to wrap to the next line and keep going. But the interesting thing about it, you know, from this layout philosophy of like not having surrounding white space, it's actually kind of an interesting one to build, because what the trick that you have to, like, you have to make it pull off is that let's use the badges example, right? If you've only got a single row of badges, it hasn't wrapped, you don't want any space above the first above the badges, and you don't want any space below the badges. You just want space between them horizontally. If they wrap, you do want space between the first row and the second row, but you still don't want space below the bottom one. So you want to make sure that the space is only ever inside of the component between the elements, and never like below the last row. Yeah. Because that's how you make sure that it can then sit inside of a, you know, we talked about stack, right? Like you can put your inline inside of a stack and the white space is not doubling up. You're not having like the space from one layout component touching the space of another component and yeah, giving you too much space.
I think inline is the component that at least I have implemented like 100 times during my career. Like it's the scenario where you have some inline items, either buttons or, you know, it can, you know, whatever. And then you're like, okay, I'll just put, you know, margin to the right if they're left aligned, and if they're right aligned, I'll put margin to the left. And then you then the view and the device or whatever goes smaller. So when it stacks, the labels or the buttons touch each other vertically. So you add the space to another direction, and then you have space below, or then you do a minus margin hack or something. And it's like, you know, that I've done that, like run around a few times. So I'm very happy now that I've implemented an inline component. It makes me bubbly inside.
But it's worth calling out, like, because you talk about, like, this is a good example of one that's quite tricky to pull off if you don't know the trick to it, you know, getting that equal spacing between elements but not around them in the container. We do have flex gap coming, and I think in a lot of ways that solves the hardest problem in layout components, which is just I want space between the elements and not around them. So like
does,
in a world
does
of,
it work also vertically?
Yeah, I believe so. Actually, that's a good question. I haven't tried it for myself, but I believe so. Like, because there's flex wrap, right? So you would say you want the flex direction to be row. I mean, it's default, right? But like, and you want it to, you turn on flex wrap, and then you would set a gap to be whatever it is, you know, 12 pixels. And then that would make sure that even if it wraps, the space is equal between everything. So this might be in the category of things that's like it's only hard today, but long term it's going to get a lot easier, luckily, to do this sort of thing.
Yeah. So the next component is that you should need, because it's a best practice, is a columns component. What's your take on that?
Yeah, so I think, to me, like columns and inline are a bit of a pair, in that inline is for like when the content, especially with dynamic content, like it may wrap, and if it like it may be bigger than the width of its container, and if it is, you want it to wrap. Columns is for when you're like, no, this isn't wrapping content. Like I'm very much demarcating, you know, columns, and I'm saying I want this one to be this wide, and I want this one to be this wide, you know, and I mean, I guess it's worth adding that what makes a component like columns really valuable, like in Braid, our design system, is anything that lays things out horizontally, we have a prop called collapse below, and you can say you want it to collapse below some breakpoint. So we name our breakpoints by devices. I know some people don't like it, but we name our breakpoints mobile, tablet, desktop. And what you can do is you can say, I want columns, and you can say, I want this column to be a third, and I want this column to be the rest, or whatever it is. And then you can just say, as a prop on the columns component, collapse below tablet. And then it just turns into a stack, effectively. And so, like, to me, that's like why columns is really important. It's not just so you can have columns, but it's so you can describe it responsively as well. Because more often than not, you know, when you're laying things out in columns, they're not going to fit on your phone. And so you need to tell it, like, at what point should it give up trying to be columns and just lay out vertically.
Yeah, and one like small detail, like that is different from Bootstrap columns in this implementation, is that you have two additional states for columns. You have content, which means that if the element has a width of 100, then it will have the width of 100. So you don't need to always set percentages. And then you also have like an auto setting. So if you have a column that, you know, takes 100 pixels, then the second column will take the rest of the space. And the reason actually I ended up implementing columns in our design system is it was this layout where you'd have like an input and a button that needs to be 100% of the width of the sidebar. So it was an apply promo code, like, when, you know, form within a checkout. So like it made it very easy, which was something that I enjoyed because it gives you a lot of flexibility around your layout to be able to say that this should take up the rest of the page without be having to state that the rest of the page is, you know, 70% or 1/5 or one half or something, which I found very, very useful. So that those were the kind of the most important layout components that I find that are very like worthwhile for everyone to know. You have a few other ones in Braid, like tiles, and those have use cases. And if anyone is interested, I recommend the Braid layout component documentation. It's really well done, and you get really good examples on how these work. And then the last best practice, this is a good one. You should use cap size. Yes or no?
So for those who don't know, cap size is a library by my friend and colleague, Michael Taranto. And that library standardizes something that we've been working towards for quite a while in our work at Seek, which is, I mentioned it earlier in the podcast, trimming the white space on text nodes in your app. So that's above the capital letters and below the baseline of the text. The way CapSize does it is that, well, first of all, there's a website for it that lets you select a Google font or upload your own font as well. And it'll give you the font metrics from the font's own metadata. And then you plug that metadata into the JavaScript library, and it gives you back the CSS rules for, like, it's basically a hack of negative margins to remove that space above and below the glyphs in the text. I would say this is by far, like, the most important thing to get right in if you want to have, like, pixel perfect layouts just working in the browser natively, like not having to work in a design visual design tool to get it pixel perfect. Like, because what we found was like the secret of layouts is having full control over white space and saying that, you know, there's never any space on the screen unless I put it there. And, you know, components don't come with margins, right? Like, if I drop this button on the screen, it doesn't have like 12 pixels of space below the button for no reason. Like, because then you'd be saying, well, that space is throwing off my layout. How do I get rid of that space? Text in a browser effectively has this problem out of the gate, because you can try it for yourself. If you drop a text node on the screen, right, and you were to say, like, where's the top of this piece of text? Where's the bottom? It doesn't match up to its actual physical space in the DOM, in the document. Like, it has white space above that, like we're saying, above the capital letter and below the baseline of the text. And why that's a problem when in relation to layout components is, like, you talk about a stack component. So you've got your stack, and you've said, I want to have, you know, whatever it is, medium space between all my elements. And so you've got some form fields and a button or something like this, or some, maybe some paragraphs of text in there as well. The problem is that if your text nodes have space above and below them, because that's just the way text works in a browser natively, it means that all of the text nodes are going to have an extra bit of space on top of the stack space that you've provided. And so visually, your layout doesn't look balanced anymore. And there's really no way for you to, unless you use Capsize or something equivalent that takes that space out of your text nodes, there's no quick fix for that. Like you, and I think in a lot of ways, like that's why we had to almost work in visual design tools to get it pixel perfect, because they didn't have these constraints of the underlying platform kind of doing the wrong thing. Like you could just draw a picture and make the white space perfect. And then a developer would just have to throw some hacks around to get it to look right. Like this thing might have a padding of 7 above it, and this one might have a padding of 12, but visually it looks balanced because that's the way the text worked. Capsize gets rid of all of that and says, like, if you drop a text node on the screen and you put a button under it, let's say, and you haven't put any space in there yourself, like the baseline of the text will be sitting like visually right on the button. Like, and if you say you want 1 pixel of space between the text and the button, it will be 1 pixel of visible space. So I would say it's the most important thing almost in a design system to get in there at the ground level. Because if you don't have that, you'll be building on top of this mistake effectively of the platform. And it's not an easy thing to unwind. Like it took a bit of work for us to have to like deprecate the poor handling of white space on our text nodes.
Yeah. This is actually the reason why I currently, when I said that I have to use the box component a lot because of reasons, this is the reason. We've built our design system on top of Zendesk's Garden, which is a very nice design system. It has like very good decisions, and it gave us like a very good foundation. But it does, it doesn't have anything like Capsize. So every text node that you have adds additional spacing. So what happens is that, for example, if you happen to change the font size within a stack, the spacings don't no longer apply because another font size has a line height of 20, the another one has 24, and the font sizes are different, so the space around the text is different. And our spacing scale, it has been stolen directly from Tailwind, props to them. Because it has these you can have 2 pixel values up to, I think, at least to like maybe 12 pixels or maybe 16. It's not like a huge, it's not pixel perfect, but you can make things good enough with the spacing scale, even though you may have 1 pixel of extra space. But you do have to do a lot of this sort of, okay, is it like in the design, like I see that it's like, it should be 12 pixels, and then you need to choose between 3 and 2.5. This sort of small thing that you would need to do in any case with custom CSS. So I can do it with the primitives. If the text sizes are the same, stacks work really well. If I have components like, badges, they usually have a background color, no issues there. If I have components like lists or cards or, buttons or whatever, then anything that has kind of a border, it works well, as long as you make sure that the internals of the component are good. But I can feel how it restrains me from, I could see that that's a stack, but it cannot be a stack because of this restriction. And we're going to have like a team-wide, or we have front-end developers in multiple teams. So my plan is that once I get this application that I'm currently working on with our design system done, we'll have a team-wide code review where everyone gets to kind of discuss stuff. And that's where I'm going to address that. Should we make our text component, should we capsize it? So that's an interesting thing where we end up with that. But it's something that is not like natively built in. So you need to use something like Capsize makes it a lot easier. I've actually done it before Capsize, trying to go through the fonts, like measuring pixels. And that was fun, to say the least. but Capsize is a really cool tool. So we'll add it to the show notes, and And even if you're not going to use something like this in your own design system or components, I think it's like worth kind of understanding the problem, because it's a very, very like an underlying, like a very primitive problem with how we build layouts. Okay, so those were all the best practices. Some of them were, and you were like true to your senior developer nature. It's tricky. It depends. I congratulate you on that. I couldn't, you know, expect anything less than that. The last question relating to layouts is that how can you get started at better layouts and spacing? What are the options that like are easily accessible for people?
How do you get started? Well, it's maybe it's just because we've just talked about it, but it's funny. Like I do think Capsize is almost like the best place to start because it, yeah, like I think we didn't actually introduce our layout components until we, as you said, capsized our text. Like once we, because we didn't used to do this, we used to move text down onto baseline, but there would still be space above the text node. It wasn't a library yet, so it wasn't capsized at the time, but it was like our own just custom implementation of the same concept, which is removing the space above and below the text node. We got that working, but then it dawned on us that like we had built a system around this reliance of there being space space around the text node. So for example, I could just stack, not stack component, but I could put a text node on top of a text, you know, like heading, text, 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 right? And visually there would be space between them and it actually looked okay. And in the way we built the system at that time. Once we removed that space and we realized we don't get that space between text elements for free anymore. Like if I go heading, text, text, text in JSX, visually that like the text is like touching each text node is touching the one, you know, below it. And it sort of hit us like, hang on, if we just ship this by itself, it's people are going to be like, so how do I, all my text is touching. Like, how do I put space between everything? And we didn't have a good answer for it. Cause at the time we didn't have layout components. We knew layout was a thing we needed to tackle. And I think that was where the light bulb went off for me, where it was like, okay, if we're going to remove the white space on our text nodes, which we definitely should do to get more predictable layouts, we actually need to have a good answer for like laying out the components at a component level. And that's in a rush, basically, that's where Stack in particular came out, because it was like, that was the first problem to solve. If I've got just a wall of text, multiple text nodes, heading, how do I say I just want space between all my my text elements? So the point there being like, though, like those layout I think why we struggled with layout components before was because we were mishandling our text nodes. It was impossible for us to come up with a good layout system, because we had, you know, half the content on the screen was messing up the layout by adding extra space, right? So it's almost like, yeah, don't even, this is maybe too harsh, but like the way I think about it is, don't even think about having layout components if your components are misbehaving, right? Like your text components are already adding extra space, like, because you're either gonna be fighting the system or maybe not understanding like, why is my stack like not as good as the one I saw it. Like if we're looking at Braid, right? You might be like, why is my, I put space between everything, but it's like, if you haven't treated your text nodes correctly, these other layout systems, they won't give you visually pleasing results.
I agree actually with the fact that Capsize is a good place to start, in the sense that you can use it anywhere. And the Capsize site even gives you a copy paste, you know, CSS or SCSS, I don't remember, but you could, you know, you can just, you know, have like a .text class in your code base and that's it. You know, you don't need React, you don't need anything, you can get started. But I do have to disagree in the sense that even though we are, you know, we have these misbehaving text nodes, I still feel that like even building like just layouts that like lists of things with borders, I think stacks are like very valuable. Like they, like before I would have to add that space somehow and I need to check the last child or stuff like that, you know. And so those are useful, but when it comes to text nodes, they no longer are, you know, you get into problems. So that's like, well, then you result in the boxes. But like, it's from my perspective, it's the same thing as I would be doing custom CSS, you know, adding margins or something. So it's not like, it's not at least worse, even if it's not 100% perfect. But I do agree like that actually starting with Capsize, you can do it anywhere in any environment where you support CSS. So in any browser, you can use it. So that's definitely worth checking out. And then I also know that you have been working on a cross-style technology version of Braid's components. So basically what it means that is that you could use the components that Braid now provides. The same components would be usable in Tailwind, style components, and basically any CSS framework.
We've been building our layout components inside of Braid, and first off, we weren't sure, like, should this even be open source, because we're still experimenting. Is the API going to change? How confident are we? At this point, we're very confident in them. We've been using them for ages, and we prefer them to anything else we've tried ourselves. The challenge is that our system is built on Treat for CSS, I mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. But like everyone's got their own flavor of how to do CSS, and the challenge in the React community in particular has this problem where it's really hard to share components with styles, you know, on NPM, because it's like, well, am I going to force you to use style components now? Or what if you're using Emotion? Or what if you're using some other random thing? So recently we had a hackathon at work, and I had the idea of like, I had an idea of how we might be able to abstract it away from the specific implementation of CSS that you might have in your app, and managed to get a working prototype of Braid layout components that there's basically the architecture we landed on is that there is a core library. And it generates all the layout components. It creates your stack and your inline and your columns and your column and so on. The trick is that you have to pass into the core library your box component. So you're like, basically, here's the engine for how do I render a single element? And it needs to accept the props of like, it needs to be able to say that it's display flex. It needs to be able to say that it's, you know, got a padding top of large or whatever. And all that's generic though, because like you provide your own space scale and so on. But that's the trick, right? You give it the box component. And what's clever about that is that because it's a component, like you have no idea how that component handles CSS. Like it could be a static CSS file written by hand. Could be. The React component still works the same, so it's fine. But then what we do, that's obviously not very ergonomic, right? Like if I say to you, here's the core library, you just have to implement this box component, make sure it's all wired up and responsive and everything, you'd be like, okay, that sounds like a lot of work. So the trick is, I mean, that's what we would do in our system, because ours is very custom set up. But what we also have is a package for style components, a package for Emotion, and a package for Tailwind is what we've got working. And so the idea is that if you're in your product, let's say you're using Emotion, you just use this library's Emotion interface, and it will generate the box component for you using Emotion. So then you just basically go, give me the layout components, and it just works. But internally, it's creating the box contract on your behalf. So what's nice about that is like you could even feasibly like start using the emotion version, let's say, and then you might even be like, you know what, I feel like I can implement the box component better, more efficiently or something. It's like, cool, use core, build box however you want and pass it in, and it'll still work. So that's the architecture. That's how it's working.
It sounds like that's a really like a novel solution. Like you're doing dependency injection, I'm just thinking that, you know, it would be nice to have this sort of generic box abstraction, like for a lot of the more, like a lot more libraries. So I'm super curious on that, like super excited. So when is it going to come out?
Well, that's the question. I'm very time poor at the moment. And unfortunately, it doesn't quite fit into the work schedule at the moment. So it's been, burning the midnight oil on this one, working on it late at night when I get the time. But I don't know. My DMs are open on Twitter. So if this is, you can tweet at me as well. But like, if you nag me enough, you out there in the internet, if you nag me enough, I'll that it might help me hurry up. But what would be good is having some early adopters that are keen to try it out and put it in their design systems, because that's really the goal. Is like, if you're working on a design system, you want it to have some good layout components. And you like what we're doing in Braid, especially because I know a lot of people follow our work. Let me know, and I can even maybe let you have a look at it before it's released, if it's not released yet. So that's where it's at. It's not too far off. It's just hard getting that polish on it, that where you feel like it's ready for prime time. I think what I've been thinking about is whether I need to just do like a V0.0.1 and just be like, look, it's not finished, but I'm putting it out there so we can at least start to talk about it, and you can play with it.
Yeah, now maybe I'll do that. Know which clip from this podcast goes to YouTube. Okay, but then like other options, like even if it's not like layout components, Tailwind has a very good spacing system in my sense. So that's like worthwhile to just go to the spacing page, and even if you're using, you know, even if Tailwind fits you, you can use that. And if Emotion is okay, Chakra UI has good spacing components, and you can install them individually, so you don't need to have the like all of the components in the component library. So that is also like a good side project, or if your product uses Emotion, then like a full-fledged solution to doing these layout components. And the last question is, and this is no longer about layouts and spacing, but what resources, blogs, sites, books, YouTube channels, people to follow, would you recommend to front-end developers who want to go from good to great?
I'm going to come at that question a slightly different way, which is I think that the best way to level up is to create more rather than consume. I think like that's a trap that I've fallen into. I know lots of people fall into. I think where I've grown the most in my career is when I've made the effort to like write blog posts, put talks together, write open source libraries, build sites for the open source libraries, you know, like try and contribute more. Because I think that forces you to, it's like what I'm saying with the layout components, right? Like pulling them out into their own library. It's so much more like building them in Braid was so much easier than pulling them out into a library. Because I didn't have to think more abstractly about the different use cases outside of my own immediate usage. I had to think about other technologies and how's it going to fit in this ecosystem. I've still got to put docs together for it, which means I really have to lay out my thought process and try and sell it almost like a product. Like I think all of that sort of stuff together is what makes you like productizing your work and putting it out there into the world and explaining it and documenting it and, you know, blogging about it and making podcasts like what you're doing, you know, all of this sort of stuff. I think it has a much greater impact than, for me, it's had a much greater impact than, you know, who I happen to follow on Twitter at the time. Or, I mean, that all helps. I don't want to diminish the value of that. But nothing quite had the same impact as actually getting out and adding my voice to that as well.
Yeah, I you know, that's like a really, really good insight, and I couldn't agree more. I think, like for me, for a lot of years, there are like two misconceptions. First was that I had too much, I was too critical of what I do. You know, you always want to start at the top and you know, do something that is, you know, amazing or close, you know, perfect, but that's not how things work. So I had to change my way of thinking and be like, you know, it doesn't matter if I need to be vulnerable. I need to put my work out there. Normally the worst thing that happens is that, you know, no one is interested. You know, that can happen. It's fine. You know, or then like one or two people are interested. And that leads me to the second problem in my thinking is that, like, I've started to think about Twitter and like working in public in general more about finding these like-minded people who I find people who have somehow struggled with the same things that I have struggled with or are in the same place, or they think about things in the same way as I do. And it really doesn't matter, like, if the project, to a project, you find only a one or two of these people, as long as you understand that, like, it's not an audience that you're trying to, like, have a lot of followers. It's more about building a community of people that you kind of care about. And I think also this, like, working from home and not being able to be close to my coworkers every day has forced me to kind of look at Twitter in a new way. It's not about, you know, being, you know, seen. It's more about building connections.
Yeah, it's reminding me of something I heard someone say once, which was like, I think it was on Twitter, funnily enough, but they were saying, you know, people think that they speak at meetups and conferences and so on because they're extroverts. And they said, it's actually the opposite. Like, I actually speak because I'm an introvert. So the way I think about that is, if I go to a conference as an attendee, especially if, like, if I'm by myself, let's say, and I've gone to a conference as an attendee, like, my natural state will probably be to just sort of hover around, not talking to people, almost like waiting for someone to come talk to me. I'm not going to bust into people's groups and say, hi, how are you going? Like, that's not, like, I'd struggle with that, right?
Mm.
What I found very early on when I started speaking at, like, local meetups was it completely fixes that problem where I get off the stage and people come to me and they're talking to me about the things I care about because they're saying, oh, I liked your talk about such and such. And it's like, it's happening right now, right? Like, because I've shared my work around layout components, like, now we're having this conversation about layout components, right? And you're right. Like, it's a really good way to make those connections that are really hard to make if you haven't put yourself out there. Like, if I hadn't shared my work, how would I find people who are equally, you know, challenged in this area or interested in it or been doing their own work? There's otherwise not a great way for me to find those people. So yeah, it's a really good way to, you know, to help people, but also, yeah, build that community and get yourself in touch with like-minded people, which helps push you forward as well. They'll challenge your ideas and they'll come up with new suggestions and as well.
Yeah. Yeah. So all our listeners or people who watch this podcast, take heed. And that's the end of this episode. So I thank all our listeners and we'll see you back in 2 weeks. Thank you.